I want to welcome every single one of you. I just want to begin with a little bit of review from last week. I think it's worth reviewing. Last 2 weeks, we talked about sin, which is the greatest problem of you. Okay, if you understand Christianity, that is central to Christianity. And then last week, we talked about hell. H-E-L-L, hell, okay? And some of the questions that we asked last Sunday was, who goes to hell? Okay, in case you are curious, okay, who goes to hell? Okay, you may have all types of theories, but unless it is scriptural, that is not an accurate view of Christianity. Okay, so what does Bible say about who goes to hell? Okay, it's very clear. We showed last Sunday from Revelation chapter 20, those people whose name is not on the written in the book of life, they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. You may want to just focus right now, yeah, because I think you should really listen. Okay, Who is that? There is also other books, plural books, that will be open when you stand before the Lord, which reveals everything you have done. Yeah. Not my word. It's God's word. Okay. Not my word. It's God's word. Okay. That was last week. Okay. What happens in hell? Hell is made for, God made hell, theologically speaking, in case you're curious. Who created that? For whom? For demons and the angels of demons. It's for Satan and demons. But people who follow demons and Satan go to hell as well. So you die in sin, and what happens is that in hell, you continue to sin. Okay, we talked about four things about for theological teaching about hell from Jesus, based on Matthew chapter 25, the sheep and the goats parable, right? One is you're completely separated from God. Doesn't mean God is absent there, because God is omnipresent. But you are completely separated from the mercy of God. Okay, that's a scary picture. So what's left? Justice and punishment and wrath. Okay, secondly, we talked about how you get associated with demons and sin and shame and fear. Have you ever had a fearful night? You know, you get so fearful. Can you imagine that whole month of that? Year of that? 10 years of that. Okay? So you're associated with demons and all the, you know, things that is of him. Thirdly, it is place of retribution. It is. You're not going there for no reason. God is God of justice. So many people ask the question, is God just? He absolutely is. Okay? What about you? Are you just? We're not. We know we're not. But he's not just. He is just. You will see his justice, every single one of us. Right? And fourth and last statement that we talked about, it is eternal. Okay? Meaning eternal, okay? Something for you to ponder upon. Okay, four things. That was hell. And who goes to hell? Those whose name is not written on the book of life. They'll be thrown into the lake of fire. That's where we left off last week, okay? But I share a little bit of hope of cross of Christ, okay? Four things that I just mentioned happened on the cross. Okay? He was completely separated from God. And he took all sin upon himself. Can you even imagine that? Right? And he was punished with a full fourth of wrath of God you deserve. Okay? Which you people will get in hell. Okay? And it was an eternal once and for all finished work of Christ. We talked about that. Okay? So today, what would be an opposite of hell? Kingdom of God. Okay? And the title of today's message is Secret to the Kingdom of God. You may want to think as key to the Kingdom of God. How do we, right, get into the Kingdom of God? Through your righteousness, you will never get there. Okay, in fact, none will get there through your righteousness. You know why? Because we're not righteous. Bible declares that none is righteous. Okay? No one seeks God, no one understands God, and no one knows God. Not only that, we outright rebel against him. We do. Okay, we do. All right, so let me start today. So what is the key? What is the secret to the kingdom of God? And we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. Okay, it's a parable. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all the three synoptic gospel, which means it's pretty important. It's a pretty important message. This is the key. You may want to listen to this. Okay? The parable of the sower. And the sower is sowing. And I found this picture. Who's this? Someone said, oh, it's a pregnant lady. No, it's not a pregnant lady. It's Jesus. Yeah. I love this picture. Can you picture with me? Because I was meditating this morning. Jesus right now is sowing seed. Sowing seed. Right now. He literally is doing that. No, he's not. You're doing. No. I'm just an instrument. But he's sowing seed right now. And what you do with it, it's up to you, actually. I want to just leave it at that. All right? He's sowing the seed. Okay? But I want to introduce, before I introduce the text that June read, Pastor June read just now from Mark chapter 4, I want to talk about seed. There are a couple places that talks about seed. Okay? Can you imagine a seed? Is that a powerful thing? Okay? How big is a seed? Depends, but it's pretty small. And how strong is it? Not very strong. You step on it and you kind of like crush it and it's done. Not very strong. But seed. But here's a verse that I want to introduce. Okay? Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Let me just stop for a second because I want you to kind of take it in, okay? You are born again, if you are born again, okay? Not of the perishable seed, but imperishable seed, singular, okay? In Greek, right? Through the living and abiding Word of God. In other words, okay, seed, Word of God or the gospel, imperishable, is planted in my heart and yours too, if you're born again. Okay, let me continue the passage that we know well. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. Isaiah chapter 40, remember, for those of you who remember that, right? The grass withers and flowers fall, okay? But the word of the Lord, that imperishable word of the Lord, will remain forever, forever, right? And what is that word? And this word is the good news or the gospel, euangelion, that was preached to you. Okay, just think with me. Something powerful has been planted in you. It's imperishable in you. Okay? Something powerful. How powerful is that? How powerful is the seed? There's a story. What's his name? G. Campbell Morgan. He's an English evangelist in 19th century. And he shared this story. He went to preach in Italy. Okay, and went to see a tomb of a monarch, a king, right? And he found something really, really interesting. This well-built tomb of a king from some time back. And there is a thick slab of stone, okay, marble stone on top of the tomb. And to that, he saw this acorn tree coming out of from the tomb. And it's growing so much that it cracks open the marble of that tomb. Can you picture that? It was one acorn somehow fell into that tomb of, a tomb. A king, I guess, decomposed and bring life to a tree. Okay? It was so powerful that it cracked open thick slab of marble tombstone cover. That's how powerful seed is. I don't know whether you remember what Jesus said. Okay? Jesus said before he went to the cross, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if the seed dies, it's going to produce many seeds. Do you see the power? How powerful is the seed? If we plant a diamond, I don't think anybody would do that, but let's say you plant a precious stone, what's going to happen? It's just going to stay as it is. It's a dead thing. What about like money? It's going to decompose, right? But if you plant seed, you could expect tree and thousands of thousands of acorns and fruits. Okay, so there is a reason, right? I kind of introduced this verse before you. So here's the parable. If you could think about this, there are four types of soil, the sower, kind of sow. And inside the church, we have all four types. Let me start with that. Inside the church, we have all four types. Let me read one more time. And Jesus was teaching them many things in parables, okay? In his teaching, he said to them, listen, okay, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. You know, Jesus was sowing, right? And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, okay? Along the path. What happened? The birds came and devoured it, and it's done. Okay, that's the first soil path. Other seed fell on rocky ground, second soil, rocky ground. What happened? It did not have much soil, very thin veneer of soil, and immediately sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose and it was scorched, since it had no root, it withered away. That's the second soil, okay, rocky soil. Third soil, other seed fell among thorns, okay, thorns. And thorns grew up and choked it, okay. Doesn't say really it killed it, but choked it, and it yielded no fruit, okay, third type of soil. And other seed fell into good soil, that's the fourth category of soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And then Jesus says something only Jesus say. He says, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, that's the parable. Okay, I don't know whether you can see this clearly. First soil, some seed fell on path. What happened? Nothing. Never penetrated. First soil is unpenetrated or impenetrable heart. Impenetrable heart. We have such hearts. Okay, second soil is the rocky soil, right? Thin veneer of soil, so it kind of sprouts up. Right, but since there is no soil, there is no root. Sun scorched, and it dies and it withers. It's dead. So first one and second one, there is no life. Okay? Third one is thorny soil. I don't know whether this is a good picture. Cactus, right? Thorny soil. And some seed fell on thorny soils, but something chokes. Thorns chokes the seed and yields no fruit. That's not very good, right? And then there's a fourth kind of soil, good soil, okay? And it gives life, okay? Here's a question. We got together, pastors got together yesterday. We always have our staff meeting on Friday morning, Friday afternoon. And I just kind of throw this question at them and never really talked about the answer. But I want to ask this question to you. Why does Jesus speak in parables? Why not just straight words, straight language? Why does Jesus speak in parable? Maybe he's weird. I don't know. Why? He answers that, okay? The purpose of the parables. When Jesus was alone, he taught them about, you know, the parable of the sower. And people were curious. Some people, those around him, with the 12, came and asked him about the parables. In other words, some people were curious enough to come to Jesus and ask the question because they had desire to know, right? And then Jesus said to them, to you, okay, have been given the secret of the kingdom of God. That's a good thing, right? But for those outside, who are those people? Outside, who doesn't belong in the kingdom. Everything is in parable. And then he gives this reasons that may sound peculiar, but it really isn't, okay? He said, so that those people on the outside, they may indeed see, but do not perceive. They see it, but they don't really see the reality. And then they may indeed hear. They hear it, but they don't quite understand it, right? Lest they should turn and be forgiven. Now, if you could just take a look at this. So why did Jesus teach in parables? So that people on the outside cannot understand it? Is that why? That sounds like Jesus is not a good person. That's not quite the theology that we understand from the scripture. Jesus desires you to be saved. All of you. Bible clearly says that. God desires all men to be saved. That's why he came. Why would he bother to come anyway? So it doesn't quite match the theology. So what does this mean then? This is from Isaiah, okay? Isaiah chapter 8, I think. Okay, I forgot. From Isaiah. And the context of Isaiah's preaching is this. Israel was just going off the wall with idolatry, sexual immorality, wickedness. They were just bad. And God continues to warn them, and they would not listen. So Isaiah comes along, and he preaches this preaching of doom and destruction. Oh. You know, you don't want to hear that kind of message, right? That's not quite the kind of message that we hear in 21st century. You got to hear the message that God loves you no matter what. No, that's not true. That's not true. Okay. Soon, this country, superpower of that time, Babylon, will come and destroy the land. You'll be taken as captive, and you will be destroyed. And you will go through this kind of destruction. Isaiah preached, probably not popular to the people. People not only hated him, but they closed their eyes and closed their ears. Right? They hardened their heart. They closed their eyes so they don't see. They closed their ears so that they don't really hear. And they hardened their heart. If they did not do that, they would turn, repent, and be forgiven. Does God preach this kind of message so that he could just let you know and just punch you? So that you will feel terrible? So that you will be destroyed with terrible feeling? Is that why he's preaching that? Is God that kind of person? Absolutely not. God is preaching this to you so that you may turn. Right? So it's not really God's problem. Sin is not really God's problem. Sin is your problem, man's problem. And same thing, when Jesus comes, right? Jesus actually came to save. And people still close their eyes, still close their ears, and harden their hearts. If you don't, you will turn and repent. and be forgiven. Okay? Why parable? I think two way to distinguish that. It's a filter. Filter. Okay? What do you mean? This is a clear enough message for you to know and be triggered if you desire to know. What happened to the people who really wanted to know? They came and asked Jesus. What happened to them? The kingdom, secret of the kingdom has been revealed to them. So it's not really Jesus, you know, try to block off, but rather it's you, people, hardening your own heart. You have no interest. Your eyes are closed and your ears are closed and your heart is hardened. Or else you will turn and be forgiven. Right? Second reason, it's a warning. It's a warning. You know, we talked about this last week as we look at Luke chapter 19, parable of the rich man and the poor man Lazarus, heaven and hell. What was that passage about? We talked about this. I made it very clear, which is from the scripture, that Jesus is warning you. Is that bad? Jesus warning you, is that bad? Absolutely not. I don't think it's bad, right? Like, we had a cyclone this week. We get this warning from left and right. Don't go outside. Don't park underneath the tree. What is that? Warnings. Is that a bad thing? Go drive, stay home. Make sure you stay safe. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. If there is hell, and Jesus telling you, don't go to hell. You should rather cut your hand if your hand causes you to sin. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not. It's not a bad thing. Why is it a problem? Because of the hardened hearts of the people. Can I just ask you, is your eyes open? Are your ears open? Just kind of like knocking at the door of your heart. Why is it so hardened? Why are you bitter if you understand grace? Okay? And then he explains to these people who came to ask him, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Now, look, listen to this. The sower sows the word. It's the word, imperishable word. He's doing it right now. And some of you are just, I hope not, but path. So hardened, nothing penetrates. Some of you are rocky soil. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. I want you to know, Satan is active as the word of God is being preached. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Right? Okay. Immediately, the one who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive with joy. But while they have no root in themselves but endure for a while, then when tribulation or persecution rises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Okay? Let me just repeat that. Path never penetrates. Is the word of God being sown in your heart right now? Is it penetrating? Spirit desires to. Are you resisting the Spirit? Remember we talked about this? All sins can be forgiven except you go against the Holy Spirit. And that refers to religious people. We know those are the religious people, which means they are inside the church. Okay? So, path, rocky soil, you love it. You go to missions. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. And they're gone in 1 month, not even a month. How many people do you know? I know so many people have said that. They are fired up. They're gone. right? Both of them have no life, okay? The third category, right? And others are the ones sown among the thorns, okay? There are those who hear the word, but something is choking. What is choking? What are the thorns? Three things, the worries of life. Your worry saps your energy away. Your worries saps any desire to know about other people. All you care about is your own problem. Right? And secondly, deceitfulness of wealth. Come on, people, you got to listen to this. You want to be rich? You better pay attention to this. Why do you want to go to a graduate school? Right? Why do you want to... Deceitfulness of wealth. And then third, desires for other things, or different translation says greed. Just greed. Simple greed. Greed consumes you. Greed will consume you, right? Those things will choke the word of God so that you will have no fruit in your life. Okay? And it proves unfruitful. Last one. But those who were sown in good soil are the ones who hear the word of God, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Okay? I'm just going to explain one more time. Okay? Packed soil, path. Right? What happens? It never penetrates. Seed is on the surface. Birds come, eat it up. Who's that bird? Satan. It's gone. You heard about message about hell. What did you do with it? What kind of soil was it planted last week? Seriously. Second kind of soil, rocky soil. There is rocks, no root, little bit of hardship, little bit of difficulty, right? What happens? You wither away. There is no life. There's no life in you. Okay? Third category, thorny ground. You have thorns and thistles that's choking you. So you have no energy, no desire, and certainly no fruits. What are those thorns? Three things. Worries of this life. Will I get into this graduate school? Oh, I've been doing ministry for 2 decades. That's the concern. Deceitfulness of wealth. I want to be rich. Bible clearly says be careful. Be careful. Right? And thirdly, just desires for things. We call this worldly soil or heart. There's going to be no fruit. Can I just ask you, I was thinking about this. These two are clearly dead. There's no life. What about this one? Is there a life? For the time being, I think there is, because it doesn't say it choked and it killed. It choked. Choked. But it does say there is no fruit. Let me just ask you, what does the Bible say about no fruits? Do you know any passage? A couple of passages that comes to my mind. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Right? Jesus clearly says, if the branches have no fruits, it'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus says that. Jesus says that. If you feel like you're number three and being choked all the time and thinking that that's okay, that's the way it's supposed to be, I don't think so. According to the teaching of the Word of God. I don't think so. Friends, I don't think so. Don't be fooled. Because I hear this all the time from people. Not only the young ones, but older ones too. They say the same thing. It's supposed to be like that. How can we get away from the concerns of life? What about my children? What about my rent? What about this? What about that? Really? So are you saying that reality is greater than reality of God's presence? Now, here's what I want you to think about. If Christianity is about God and God is God, Could there be a greater reality? I know it's a little bit of a philosophical question, but I think it's worth asking. Could there be a greater reality? Right? And then, fourth kind of soil is good soil. And I want to talk about good soil, okay? Because I think that's what Holy Spirit makes you. You are no longer slave to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you. Your desire changes. The riches of the world begin to look small. That's normal when you walk in the Holy Spirit, when we are regenerated and born again. Here's why, okay? One of the questions in Christianity Explored chapter, this chapter asks is, what does this soil look like? Okay? These are some of the things. This soil, if that's you, you're going to have fruits. You're going to have fruits. Make no mistake about this. Okay? Why would the world look small if you have a good soil when the Holy Spirit is reigning in your heart? Because you see something much greater worth. That's why. I hope that makes sense to you. There's another parable in the Bible that Jesus gave. And it's this very two-line parable about the kingdom. You know how it is? There's a man who's looking for a pearl, treasure. He goes out, he finds the pearl. What does he do? He covers it, comes back home, sell everything, and go and buys that land. Is that unclear? Is that unclear? Only two verses. There's a man who's looking for a treasure, a pearl, and he goes out and finds the pearl. What does he do? He covers it, he comes back, he sells everything, and he goes back and he buys that land where the pearl is. You get it? I don't think it's that unclear as you think it is. I don't think so, people. I don't think so. What does good soil look like? He hears the word, as you are doing right now, and he receives it. You know who receives it? Humble people receives it. Desperate people receives it. When you're hungry, you don't care whether it is a steak or hamburger. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter to me anytime. Yeah. You're desperate. You're hungry. You know you're lost without him. You know you're going to hell without him. Who receives the word of God? People with a heart that has been broken. You know why it doesn't penetrate you? Because it is so hardened. So sad, if you think about it. Your eyes are closed, and your ears are closed. And that'll automatically harden your heart. Automatically harden your heart. People, this is the word of the Lord. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's so interesting, in the Bible, God and or Jesus speaks like that. Right? In the Old Testament, God, Jehovah God, says, Shema Israel. Listen, this Israel. Jesus comes along, Jehovah God incarnate comes along. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you listening? Or are you just kind of scoffing right now? Scoffing. You go to the book of Revelation, and Jesus speaks to the church, seven churches, and they weren't doing well. Says, Jesus speaks to the church, let the church hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church. You need to hear, listen. Are you scoffing? Don't scoff. Do not close your eyes and close your ears. You should listen. You should listen. Your heart needs to be broken and humbled. Then you have hope. lest you will turn and be forgiven. Okay. What is this parable about? John MacArthur just sums up like this. And I want you to look at this. Okay, I'm almost done. Okay. And make no mistake about this. You know what this parable is about? What is Jesus saying? This is what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of God. He's saying true believers produce fruits. Path, no fruits. Okay, it's just path. Rocky soil, no fruits. Thorny soil, very worldly, no fruits. So it doesn't really matter whether you are category one or two or three. None of them have fruits, which means I don't know what you believe. But true believers produce fruits. I picked this picture because if you go down to 29th verse of that chapter, chapter 4, it speaks about harvest. Harvest. When time comes, there's going to be a harvest. God is the harvester. And if you are not wheat, there's nothing to harvest. I was thinking about that, you know. I was really thinking about that. If you are a tare, there's nothing to harvest. Seriously, brothers and sisters. Spurgeon asked this question, are you a wheat or are you a tare? Spurgeon asks. I want to ask you, are you a wheat or are you a tare? We're not sure. Is it okay to be not sure? Really? There's nothing to harvest unless you are wheat. Okay. That's a hand of the farmer. And I don't know whether you can see it. It's kind of faint, but soil and seed. That's what Jesus is doing right now. Right now, people. I was thinking this week as I was meditating about this, knowing that inside the church we have all kinds of soils. I'm not suggesting that you're one over the other. I'm not. That's for you to decide in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I was thinking, I know this is what Jesus is doing. Did you know that when Jesus was actually doing the ministry, not too many people listened? Did you know that? I was thinking like, oh man, that's a very discouraging thought. If Jesus preached and not that many people listened, what about when Pastor Paul Chung preached? But my prayer is that you will listen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? True believers will have fruit. Category 1, 2, 3, it doesn't matter. You're worldly Christian, worldly soil, there's no fruit in your life. And it'll be cut down and thrown into the lake of fire. That's what the scripture states. I think you should pray for mercy upon your life. Mercy. I really believe Holy Spirit could really break the ground of the path. Holy Spirit could remove the rocks. Holy Spirit could remove the thorns because those are nothing compared to the worth of Christ. No? If I don't believe that, I shouldn't do ministry. I do believe that. But you need to see the need and repent before the Lord. Okay, let's pray.